Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. Tyler's here with Barry and I at Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda. In Houston, Texas, if you listen to the announcer. As we get into hour number two of the three-hour show, The Usual Suspects, and we are here because Pete Rose is in town with Tony Perez and some of his friends as they get ready to put on this event that started at 1 o'clock. It's a gala and a golf tournament, all because of the new venture out in Katy, Texas, Hit Kings Baseball, hitkingbaseball.com. Pete is involved with the guys. It is a really, really sweet setup. If you've got a kid playing baseball and you want top instruction, Pete Rose has said on the air he's going to be here once a month to work with the kids. They have teams that go out and play, and they teach them to play the right way. And I don't know that anybody else that I'd rather have learn the game than have Pete Rose instruct my kids. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. A living legend.
Yeah.
You don't get instruction from living legends all the time. We're lucky to have that in the Houston area.
No question.
Real lucky.
Yeah, that's a sweet setup. We had one when we were growing up in Milwaukee. The Brewer first baseman at the time was a guy by the name of Mike Hegan. His dad had played in the majors too. And because it's so butt-ass cold all winter in Wisconsin, you can't play year-round. He was one of the first guys where he got some of his players on the Brewers to invest with them, and they took like a football field-sized warehouse, and they built batting cages, pitching mounds, all the different things, and so kids could play year-round because you don't have the weather you have in the South. And it was like a huge hit with all the from Little League to high school teams. I used to go in there, and before we started winter workouts, I would go in there, and my best friend was our starting catcher, and my dad, and we would get for an hour, we would rent the pitching just a pitching mound,
uh-huh.
And just go in and get all your arm work done and everything like that, just because you couldn't. It's better than, what are we going to do, throw it on the snow? So these things are huge, but, I mean, down south, I mean, it's fantastic. Not only you get the kind of facilities that they have, but you're going to have Pete Rose and others giving you instruction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd put my kid in that.
Pretty legit. Somebody texted the show and said, Tony Perez is the reason I dipped snuff today. I played first base in youth baseball. The only MLB games you could watch were on Saturdays. Lots of red games. He spit on a dude's shoe while holding him on. I was hooked.
That's awesome.
That's pretty baller.
Yeah. Just, we were talking about it. He had the finger wiggle. You had Joe Morgan that had the chicken wing that was it's part of his batting stance. Pete had the crouch. But, yeah, I mean, back before we had superstations and cable and all the different things, you had to have the game of the week with Joe Garagiola and Tony Kubek.
Oh,
and you got a lot of Red Sox, a lot of Reds,
Joe Garagiola.
Yeah.
God, that's a blast from the
and
past.
And I'm telling you, that same Saturday mornings, that was Johnny Bench and the Baseball Bunch.
I don't remember that. Okay. I know. I got chastised for that over text, too. Somebody else texted and said, y'all's Rice versus Moss discussion sparked an argument in my group text.
Okay.
First of all, why are dudes having a group text? Guys.
Because they don't want to work.
Let's not do that. One of my buddies is using the argument, but you don't say someone got riced. You say they got mossed. He isn't accepting the argument that Rice has seasons more yards than anyone else. Nobody's even close. even in this pass happy league we have now, guys these days would have to play until they're 50 to catch moss.
So if you get part of a pop culture slang term, you should be in the Hall of Fame.
Who the hell is saying you got mossed? I've never heard that in my life.
Football player.
No, that's the thing.
Yeah, football
you got
player.
Mossed?
Because Moss had better, I guess, kind of like one-time catches over people, and Jerry Rice was just like a steel rod.
Nails.
Of
yeah.
Always.
You got mossed? I swear to you, I've never
It's like
heard
getting
that.
Posterized. Getting yeah. mossed is getting posterized.
That's just the
Jerry dumb. Ross was never, or Jerry Rice was never.
Jerry Ross.
Jerry Ross.
It's
Rice was
he
never
was the,
like.
He was more
Rice was never
that was
flashy.
The white guy.
Rice was never flashy, like jumping over people to catch a ball in front of their helmet. Moss did that.
He was just fast, had great hands,
yeah.
and had longevity.
He was just the best ever. Yeah, yeah you know, otherwise.
Longevity, yeah.
Otherwise,
Moss
what
didn't
else?
Have longevity.
You know, when someone tells a great joke that gets the whole crowd laughing, you got Laminact.
No, that's not how that goes. That's not how that goes
You got
at all.
Laminact.
I wish.
It's just like that.
I wish. That was actually a saying, though.
So
if you got Laminact, you got told off. It started, I don't know if I ever told this story, but when I was in IT, we used to do these rollouts where we would go in and upgrade a company's network to like Windows 2000 back when it was coming out. I'll tell you how long ago this was, 17 years. So I was doing this for Cisco Foods, and they have tons of locations all over the country, and I don't remember what location we were at, but what we would do is we would go in on a Thursday, and we would spend the weekend upgrading the network. And then on Monday morning, we'd all be there that morning when everyone got to work. If there were issues, we were there to answer questions and help people, and we had a war room, and people would come in and sign up on the list, right? So it was, we did this all the time. It was real easy. It worked like clockwork. We're at one location, and this one guy comes in and goes, I can't log into anything. I was like, all right, well, you know, we'll get with you soon. And he comes back 30 minutes later. I can't log into anything. I'm like, dude, there's like 16 people in front of you. Just put your name on the list, and we'll get to you. He goes, well, 16 people, that's fine, but the vice president also can't log in. I was like, well, now there's 17 people in front of you. And so that's kind of how it started. Is I would just tell people off. Because, dude, by Monday I was exhausted. I was tired. Yeah, you got told. That was what some of the people say. You got Laminax. So that's how
got
that Laminax. Started. Yeah.
All right.
Definitely not a good comedy show, though.
All right. So where are you guys on sequels to really – we'll just say – I was going to say great movies, and I know you'd probably pick that apart. But where are you on on sequels to iconic movies?
We talking porn or are we talking?
It came out today. Tom
regular.
Cruise let it slip that Top Gun 2 is going to start filming here within the next year. And I'm sitting there. First of all, I'm thinking, Goose is dead, and what is Tom going to be an instructor now? And Kelly McGillis is just going to look old. I mean, who's
right?
still around? And what can you do? And then
Flop
you know,
gun.
And Val Kilmer can be on another planet. Yeah. If you need.
Yeah.
But I did see, I think Big Head Sports tweeted out that they should bring Goose back because even his corpse would look better than Val Kilmer does now.
Yeah.
That's messed up, man.
But it's kind of true.
Haters.
I mean, it was a great movie back in the day.
It was very homoerotic, but yes.
That's because you still dream about the volleyball scene?
I mean, yeah. Well, that and so much more. There was a lot of moments in that movie where you're like, really?
But that's kind of what I was getting at. Back in the day, though, it was a very popular movie. But now, and you know, he's got Jerry Bruckheimer involved in it, so you know that they're going to try and make it really, you know, over dramatic with the special effects. You have to. I just don't know how.
Yeah,
Top
that's
Gun
the only
2.
Way to compete.
Yeah.
In movies nowadays, especially action movies,
and maybe you have to call it like Topper Gun. Like, it's more over the top. No? All right.
No. It's a good try, though.
I don't know. You see what I mean? I'm not a big – I don't feel like there's been a lot of great sequels.
I agree. That
Now,
that, I totally
some people
agree.
Will say, like, well, it depends what you call a sequel, like The Empire Strikes Back to Star Wars, The Dark Knight to Batman, or something like that. But are those sequels, or are those just different versions of the story? Because there's a Top Gun, and there's Top Gun 2. And it has one probably has very little to do with the other, I'm guessing. Like, he's probably going to be a flight instructor now.
Right.
Because he's old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean.
I just. I
off the top of my head, I can't think of a great sequel that I'm like, man, I'm so glad they made a second one. They usually don't live up to the hype.
The only ones close would be like the Die Hard movies, maybe?
Yeah. Honestly, I think Die Hard, the one with Sam Jackson, was the best out of all of them.
Of the Die Hard movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was going to say, because again, I'm not sure how they titled them, but you knew it was
Die Hard, Die Harder.
Die Hard was one.
I don't think
one.
It was Die Harder, though. I thought it was Die Hard 2.
I think there was a Die Harder
and then
in there.
There was Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Die Harder.
But I'm thinking that Die Hard was one of them. What's the one with Liam Neeson?
So we're back on porn?
Taken?
Are we? Oh, no, we're still on. Okay.
Taken 2. Those were decent.
Tooken.
Got took.
Yeah. But for the most
Wayne's
part,
World,
I just
World
don't
two.
Know where I'm
Taken,
with you.
Taken 2, no.
What about the one with Matt Damon?
Born Supremacy?
All the Bourne
Identity?
All the Bourne
But that's like a series to me. That's not a, hey, we made E.T. and now we're going to, like, it blew up and now
like,
we're going to make
Star
E.T.
Wars?
2. Star Wars is a series.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're saying
yeah,
the Bourne.
That's not, The Empire Strikes the Bourne, Back isn't okay. a sequel. Like, you have Revenge of the Nerds and then everyone loved the movie, so they made Revenge
so
of the Nerds. Sharknado. They made a sequel because Sharknado did well. You know what I mean?
You didn't
like,
hear me.
What
I
about
said
Meatballs?
Wayne's World 2.
Oh, I hate you for that.
What about Meatballs?
Porky's. Porky's 2.
Porky's and Porky's 2.
No.
Come
See,
on.
The
Beulah
what about,
Ballbreaker.
Okay. So,
come on.
Yeah. The Godfather 2. Is that maybe the best sequel of all time?
But isn't that part of a series?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the story behind The Godfather. Like, was this already a book series or whatever? You know what I mean? That same thing, like Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, Harry Potter.
Series.
These were
yeah.
series.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Did they make The Godfather and then go, oh, my God, we made a great film.
But
let's make another one.
You realize the Star Wars that are coming out now are being made because they wrote the sequels years later.
Yeah, but the first three were already written, right?
Those were done.
Yeah.
That was like an original story.
Right.
And then because of that movie, because of its popularity,
he went back and wrote the first
one.
No,
George
Lucas.
Some other writer is like writing books, like a book series
for Star Wars.
For Star Wars,
I didn't know that.
And then they kind of developed it.
I didn't know that. No.
All right, I just thought I'd throw it out there. But we got plenty more show to get to. Things. Maybe the best thing that happened during the basketball game last night wasn't on the floor at all. It was in the studio as part of the.
Yes.
TNT crew.
Yes.
We have to get to that. We've got plenty more to get to. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-ESPN, where you can text, you can call, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda. This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're going to go back to that Almeda thing all day. Every time I hear it, I cringe, but... We are off Almeda in Houston, Texas at Wildcat Golf Club where Pete Rose, Tony Perez, they're all part of the HitKingBaseball.com golf tournament. It's actually called the Pete Rose Golf Tournament and Gala. But HitKingBaseball.com, if you've got a kid playing baseball in the Houston area and you want some quality instruction, the HitKing Baseball Academy is getting ready to open up out in Katy. If you want more information, HitKingBaseball.com. We were talking about before the break.
Well, real quick, somebody, we were talking about you got mossed, and everyone's texting the show saying that's a segment on Monday Night Football.
Because so is Randy.
Yeah, well, you would have to assume that I would watch the pre-Monday Night Football show or halftime or any of that stuff. Why would I?
Well, and Randy's part of the broadcast.
Like,
if Jerry Rice was part of the broadcast, you don't think you'd get riced?
Yeah, it'd be something. That's just they're just spinning off Come On Man or something like that. Like, I'm not... I don't watch that. Why? I literally sit down at kickoff and try to hang in. Monday Night Football is...
My bad. You got riced as a Granado gig that he does on certain days.
That's true.
Okay, so...
Yeah, people are actually saying, how are you on sports talk radio if you don't know that you got mossed as a saying?
How
seriously?
How do you have not enough things to do in your life that you know
seriously?
What it is?
Because I don't watch the pre-Monday Night Football show. Oh, yeah. That's, Jesus.
Oh,
Alien. Somebody said Aliens was a good sequel to Alien.
I was good, but see, aliens again, that's with an S. I have to go to you, the judge and jury, and say, is that part of
a series? I don't know that. I don't know, but that's so. Aliens, The Godfather 2, and The Terminator 2 seem to be what most people would say are top three.
Okay.
On sequels.
Terminator 2, definitely.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's, you know. Oh, Jaws 2 is another one. Yeah. Somebody, I've seen several now that said Bad Boys 2. I don't think I saw Bad Boys 2.
I don't know that I did either.
I really enjoyed Bad Boys, but I don't know that I saw Bad Boys 2.
Mike Lowry.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy 2? Any of you guys seen that yet?
Nope.
I mentioned that in the break.
Yeah, you saw that?
That's
yeah.
when Barry told you to turn your mic off.
Yeah, probably. It was
no,
right
no,
after
no, no.
Porky's.
I said Wayne's World 2.
Yeah,
no,
Wayne's World.
No,
well,
that was a different one. I don't know. But Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was better than the first one.
Okay.
But, I mean, again, that kind of goes back to it's a series.
Is it? Yeah, because of Marvel. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So, getting back to another thing, that's what I was getting to of what we talked about earlier. But this whole Rice Moss discussion, the interesting debate then becomes: is it always about the stats? Because running back is totally different than wide receiver in my mind. Emmitt Smith's going to have all the stats, but I never look at Emmitt Smith and think he's the greatest running back of all time. When I think of the greatest running backs of all time, I think of guys like Barry Sanders, like Walter Payton, like Jim Brown back in the day, because Jim Brown and Gale Sayers both cut their careers short. They could have played a lot longer, so did Barry Sanders. So you look at it, you can't really say statistically as much as you can say, I mean, from the elusiveness of Sanders to the toughness of a Jim Brown or a Walter Payton.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't think that I understand what Emmitt Smith's numbers are, but I just don't see Emmitt Smith. I think he was great. I don't think he's the greatest of all time.
So you make is that how you make the exception? Because you say, I mean, you could say the same thing about Rice. Because, I mean, dude, Emmitt Smith is almost 2,000 yards ahead of Walter Payton. That's two seasons.
Yeah, or a season, depending on which.
Rice is 7,000 ahead of who is second on the list? Is it? I'd have
is
to
it
go
Marvin
look.
Harris. It's not Marvin Harris.
No, but it's one of those things where if you're going to say that for Moss or and Rice, mm-hmm. then don't you have to give that same consideration to Emmitt Smith? The problem is Emmitt Smith wasn't flashy. He was a lot like Rice in that he was just steady Eddie. Every year, he wasn't – no one's saying you got Smithed. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, there's no one even close to him. So, I mean, I don't see how
you can't – I see your point. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying this is
Terrell
all about
Owens,
personal preference.
Terrell Owens.
Is second?
Yeah.
And he's not in the Hall of Fame?
No. Okay. 15,900 ahead of Randy Moss at 15.2. And if you're interested, Rice is at 22.895.
Yeah, Terrell Owens has got to be involved.
Yeah, so.
I mean, look, is it so bad to say it's just personal preference?
No, it's not. I mean, you can say that, but that was just like. But, I mean, I'm with you in that if you ask me, but there's a difference. Who's the best and who was your favorite to watch? I loved watching Walter Payton run. Actually,
no question.
Actually, more than anything, and this is the Houston in me coming out, but I loved watching Earl Campbell run more than
yes.
I loved watching anybody run.
Well, Earl Campbell was another guy that you could run right over people.
But that was that's because I grew up watching
sure.
Earl Campbell. But even then, I challenge you, maybe other than a Barry Sanders highlight reel or a Walter Payton highlight reel, hop on YouTube and check out an Earl Campbell
sure.
highlight reel. And you
with the
will
tearaway
be like,
jerseys and all the guys.
Just running people over.
Yep.
Like. So I think some of it is it's who you liked watching of the greats factors into who you think was the greatest, and I'm fine with that. But you can't really make one argument for Rice that your argument for Emmitt Smith kind of flies in the face of it, I guess. Because I'm with you. I wouldn't have said if I didn't know anything about numbers and you would say name the top three running backs of mm-hmm. all time, I probably don't list Emmitt Smith. Because
right.
he wasn't one of my
right.
favorites
right.
to watch. I mean, I still list Rice because I know of Rice's greatness as a receiver and changing the position and everything else. But there was Walter Payton before there was Emmitt Smith. You know what I mean? So it's just, again, there was Barry Sanders
Brown run.
In the same era. Right.
But Jim Brown was a lot like the Earl Campbells or the Walter Paytons, where they had the physicality to run your ass over,
yeah.
But they also had the skill to be able to run through a small hole and get as many yards as you needed them to get.
Yeah, and no one's saying, like, well, there was a Steve Largent before there was a Jerry Rice. You know what I mean? Like, you don't look, like, if
right.
you look at everyone that's behind him, even in the top 10, this is all dudes that have come since Owens, Moss, Isaac Bruce, Tony Gonzalez, Tim Brown, Steve Smith, Marvin Harrison, Larry Fitzgerald, Reggie Wayne. That's your top 10 in receiving behind Jerry Rice. So you're not saying, well, there was, Chris Carter, maybe. But again, it's one of those things where he, I feel like, elevated that position to a whole new level. Emmitt Smith just was the most consistent.
I think, because, I mean, honestly, the greatest accolade that I can give Walter Payton is, as Packer fans that hate everything Chicago Bears, growing up, we loved watching Walter Payton. I mean, that dude, and granted, the Packers were down at that time, but that dude was the best of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, he, in our era, to see what he did every time the ball was put in his hands, it
yeah.
was special.
Yeah. Sweetness.
Yeah. So we got that out in there. I mean, and you're right. Look, a lot of it is maybe who your favorite player. But if you look at just ability, the only reason that I say like Jim Brown or Gale Sayers, but especially Jim Brown and Barry Sanders, is because they cut their career short on their own. They elected. Now, if they'd have played their whole career, and again, you can't factor in if they would have gotten hurt or not. But Barry Sanders was on, you know, a course to rewrite the entire record book had he decided to go for a longevity career instead of just, hey, I want to get out before I get to be damaged goods for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So.
More text about getting mossed. It's, you know, it's these damn millennials
damn
that are
right
texting me about this. And I wish you guys knew how much I didn't care about getting mossed. I wish you guys could just understand that.
So, Nick, when you blow, his doors off in a 40-yard dash, are you going to tell him he got mossed?
Stop. Just stop.
Come on, Nick.
That was Nick's response because he was actually knee-deep in his phone and two other things because he has absolutely no interest in this show.
No, I've been paying attention. You just haven't tossed to me.
Oh, someone's getting sassy again. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
My bad. So, Nick, I tossed to you and you went stop. Just stop. Nick, who's the best running back of all time?
I don't know. I would probably say Emmitt Smith.
Nick, who's the best receiver of all time?
Rice.
Okay. Nick, who's the best quarterback of all time?
Tom Brady, probably.
See, that's the one that's definitive, even though his numbers aren't there yet.
Yeah.
That's where I was looking at, too. I completely get your point on Emmitt and Jerry Rice, and I said Rice. But from a quarterback position, last year's Super Bowl supposedly defined the fact that Brady's the greatest of all time. But from a statistical perspective, he's not there yet.
I have to look up the stats. That's the one I don't know.
Yeah, he's not there yet. But we can look him up. But that's the one that makes the whole discussion, again, worth having. Because
right.
from an accolades perspective, you can't argue with it. From a statistical perspective, it's a little different.
Yeah, he's fourth.
Yeah.
Manning, Favre, Breeze, Brady.
How about Breeze being up there and still active?
Yeah.
So it means
where's Montana on the list?
Again, there's a
17th.
Guy. There's a guy with accolades, but not stats.
17th on the list, Joe Montana.
Yeah.
So but I don't think anyone is. I mean, are you going to really argue that Peyton Manning is better than Tom Brady? Would you have that argument?
As a passer, I might. As a winner, no.
See, that's one of those gray areas. Where
I threw it
well,
out there,
yeah.
But you asked and I answered.
No, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
All right, so if you guys want to get on the discussion, please do. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, where you can text, you can call, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. We are the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're here at Wildcat Golf Club, as said announcer has said, in Screwston, Texas, as we support Pete Rose and his golf tournament and gala as part of HitKingBaseball.com. He's opening up an academy here in Katy, Texas, to teach kids how to play baseball the right way. It was great. He was on with Sean and John and made sure he said, look, I watch baseball these days, and I just don't like the way they're playing the game. And I don't like, you know, how everything's going down, and I want to change that. So he said not only is he going to put his name as part of the academy, but he's going to come once a month.
Yeah.
And give instructional messages to the kids. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I think it's fantastic. Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's cool. I think it's a pretty cool thing.
Okay. I teased this a little while back. But, Nick, did you watch the game last night?
Only parts of it, just the third quarter where Irvin kind of went off.
Did you see the studio show?
No, I did not. I did see the clip, though, between Charles Barkley and Shaq, though.
So interesting. On the show, we've brought up in the past that there was a little bit of a hubbub back in the day at Compaq Center between Shaq and Charles. They've mentioned it once or twice. But it seems like overall they got a pretty good rapport in the studio, and they have a good back and forth.
You think that's in the back of their mind, that fight?
I don't know if it's the fight, but I know that in the past, and maybe it's just the egos of guys that were great at what they did at one point, but they do get a little pointed when they come at each other every now and then. It gets a little salty.
Yeah. I can't tell you that wouldn't be in my mind if I was either one of those
guys. That you scrapped with a guy once?
Yeah. I'm sure that they had put that behind them and that they're friends and all that, but I think I would still think about that, especially if I was Barkley. I'd be like, I took you down, dude. Like, you were the big man that...
Mm-hmm. And threw the ball off his head.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if there was a dude that you know isn't scared to fight anyone, it's whatever dude bounces a basketball off Shaq's head. That's the guy that's not scared to fight anyone.
Right.
Because could you imagine getting punched in the face by Shaquille O'Neal? His hand, first of all, his fist is probably as big as my face.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would break my entire bone structure in my face if he punched me. And Barkley was like, let's do it.
I told you, I went in the locker room right after it happened when he got ejected. And he was in the locker room riding a station recumbent bike.
Yeah.
And he's like, you see that? You see what I did right there? He goes, I took his ass down. And he was proud. He knew what he did, and he knew that was his focus. So you might be right, but it just, again, two Hall of Famers, two guys that had phenomenal careers, but also two guys with phenomenal egos going back and forth at each other, and they do it every night. I think at some point the grind can get the best of you as well. But last night they had an exchange, and Nick has the audio, but it was basically Shaq says he got mad that Charles interrupted him, but it got real personal in a hurry. It sounded a little something like this.
You don't want to mess around, Chuck. You have no idea what we're talking about.
It's a real must-win for Boston.
Because you've only been to the finals once. So
I wasn't riding on Dwayne Wade's and Kobe's coattails.
Doesn't matter, Chuck. I got the same thing you got, and I patched you up 10 years
ago. Just letting you know. If I'd been riding on Kobe's coattails, Dwayne Wade's, and Alonzo Mourning's, too. I forgot about
must
him.
Must-win for those guys. Everybody
and Rick
knows
Fox.
You're a bum.
Rick Fox.
People question why you're in the Hall of Fame anyway, bum.
I would say this, Shaq.
No, it's a bust.
Why did that get so personal? Talking about game five.
Because Chuck always interrupt me. Don't interrupt me, Chuck. I'm going to punch you right in your face. Yeah, I'm telling you.
We're going to be moving some furniture.
Okay, I got you.
I'm going to throw one of these chicken wings at your fat ass.
Okay.
You're going to grab it like one of those birds do.
You going to do what?
Come on, man. Quit your
around. Come on, man.
First of all.
No, come on, man.
You don't want to get on this old cheap suit, kindergarten.
Papa was a roller.
Stabbing him with a trident.
I would say I don't even notice that barbecue sauce on my suit.
I would agree. I don't notice the barbecue sauce, but I also would.
First of all, you know Chuck ain't throwing food. No, Chuck is not throwing any chicken wings. There is no way he's letting the chicken wings out of his grip. That's first and foremost. Second of all, Shaq made it personal right away. Bum, like that's when it. That was the tipping point. Bum.
Forget bum. Forget that he insinuates that a lot of people think that he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
The only thing that says Charles Barkley shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame is the fact that he never won a ring. That's the only knock you can put on him. Other than that, start to finish from his career, you can't argue the fact the guy's in the should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that was just him being petty. That's it. But boy, that got salty. That kind of reminded me of me and Nick.
Well,
Nick, you bum.
I thought you were going to say you and me.
I'm going to throw wieners at you tonight, Nick.
But how about this? How about the fact that they're not done? Like, you know, they're getting ready to wrap it up and turn it all over to ABC and ESPN. But until they do, they got at least one more game, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
That's going to be an uncomfortable and awkward situation worth watching.
Do they travel together?
I don't think they travel together, per se. Well, I shouldn't say that. Because if they were coming from their houses or their hometowns, that they would fly separately.
Yeah.
But if you're going from, like, city to city in a tight series like
this. Because aren't
they
going back
They
now?
Might charter to save money, and everybody from TNT gets on one big plane and heads on to
the
other city.
Because where were they last night? They were in Cleveland last night.
So they got to go to Boston.
They're going to Boston, so they're going to travel together, right?
I would think so.
Oh, that would be an awkward-ass plane ride.
We'll ask Mikhail tomorrow. I'll get Mikhail on tomorrow because he knows about how TNT does things.
Yeah.
But
boy, I would just love to be a fly on the wall in that plane just to – hear the awkward silence.
You know, I could kill it
because you know it's one
hands,
of those.
Right?
It's one of those. Yeah, yeah. Here's one right here. I want to see you do it.
There's I was looking for around. It. I was looking for it.
You know, you could. It sounds weird, but you could hear the awkward silence. You know what I mean? Where you just feel the tension. You hear everything else because there's no talking. Like I bet that plane ride would be so.
Well, you know, there's no flies on the wall in that plane because there's no leftover food sitting out.
Yeah,
I thought about that too. True. Plus, the weight limit was going to be pushed to the limit because of the fact that they're both. And if it's a small plane, they might be in trouble.
Well, did you see the one? I think it was the night before where Kenny Smith was jacking with Chuck at halftime. And he was
pulled the potato out of his breast
like
pocket.
Kenny Smith put a chicken finger in his.
It was a potato
jacket, or whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
Fried potato. Yeah,
fried food. Whatever it was.
Yeah,
put it in his jacket pocket, and Chuck's like, "Man, this is a new suit." Blah blah blah. Like,
started, did he eat it though?
He was going back and forth with him.
I think that was. I don't think he ever got heated.
No, did he eat it though?
I think that was more of a.
They wanted him to.
I thought that was more of a fried potato in my soup. Like, I don't think anybody was actually supposed to see that, but.
I'm just saying, you put a fried potato in my suit pocket, and
I'm
going to
eat it.
Yeah. I'm not throwing that away.
Yeah, for sure. In a suit jacket pocket, maybe if you snuck it in my pants, I probably wouldn't eat it.
Whoa. Oh, see, then you get
Laminact. Jacket pockets,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that potato gets Laminact if it goes below the equator. If it's stuck in his pants, no one's eating it.
No.
What does Laminact mean?
It means if it's gross or any kind of germophobic, it ain't happening.
That was insane though. I didn't get to see that because I refused to watch that series. I don't want to see another game between the Cavs and the Celtics. I don't need to.
Well, and here's the thing more so than anything else, and it's not the NBA's fault because you can't control injuries, but it just makes it less appealing. I mean, with Isaiah Thomas out of that series, you know, Boston has no shot. Just like with the Spurs without Kawhi. They have no shot.
Yep.
That's what's made these playoffs so hard to watch, because when there's not blowouts, the injuries take all of the drama and all of the chances for a great game out of the equation. It's like, well, I can check the score every now and then, and if I'm watching baseball, it's on the bottom line. I don't have to worry about it.
You think they so you said earlier in the show Cleveland closes out. You think it's a blowout, or you think it's close because it's on the road to Boston?
I think LeBron is focused right now, like I said, on what the Warriors are doing. So I think that Boston will get off to an emotional start maybe, but I think by halftime, early third quarter, it's over.
Okay.
You?
I think it's going to be a blowout. I do. I think that I think like you said, LeBron knows what's at stake. He knows the Warriors are resting. It's time to move on. And if I'm LeBron, I make sure of that. So
there
he needs to put it that way.
Nick, is it over?
I think it is.
Yeah. Blowout or close, Nick?
I think they'll keep it close. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I don't think it'll be a blowout.
Is that just because it's in Boston?
No, I just think it's too hard for professionals to just give in that easy. Unless there's a huge discrepancy between talent, and I know there is, but they show that they can put up a fight without Isaiah. So.
Yeah, they won one.
All right, we'll see what happens. That's game 5 tomorrow night in Beantown. So we'll continue to talk about that if you'd like. We're checking texts, tweets, and, of course, Nick's getting the calls. So if you had anything you want to bring to the table, please do. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. You can't catch me 'cause I'm rapping on dying.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, side of Tyler. Usual Suspects on a beautiful Wednesday out at Wildcat, where the Pete Rose Golf Tournament's going on, part of HitKingBaseball.com, as he's opening up a baseball academy for youth. I think it's ages 8 to 18 or something like that in Katy, Texas. But anyway, if your kid plays baseball, check out HitKingBaseball.com, a great place to get instruction and games and teams for your youngster in the Houston area. We got a call that's been waiting, so we appreciate the patience. Travis is on the line. Travis, what's up?
Oh, hey. What's it on?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I feel like I'm like going way back now because we've kind of steered off of it. But you guys were earlier talking about the greats and whatnot. And you were talking about Tom Brady, and you made like a little small, subtle note, and you were like, no one would ever argue about Peyton. You can't really make an argument about Peyton Manning over Tom Brady. And I just kind of want to throw something in there. You can make the argument about Peyton Manning over Tom Brady. You still can. You always could have. Because you guys are talking about greatest running backs ever, and then you're saying that you would never even think about Emmitt Smith. And the names that you gave out was Gale Sayers, Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, and Walter Payton. And those guys collectively have two rings, while a guy like Emmitt Smith has three. So I don't get how everyone just starts putting Tom Brady in his level above everyone else just because he has rings, and then all of a sudden ignore everything else that goes into the game. At the end of the day, these guys are one player on the field, like one out of 22. It may be the most important position on the field, but it's one player on the field. And over the times, I mean, like, Peyton Manning has accomplished more with less than anybody else in NFL history. So it really makes sense to always have him in that discussion. I mean, the guy has taken three different head coaches to the Super Bowl, three coaches that really should not have been in the Super Bowl. He's taken three different ones to the Super Bowl. He's won two with two different teams on two different corners of the United States, actually. He's won one in Florida and one in California. No, nobody else has done that either. And
that's
I'm not even going
though
into the numbers, but I always tell people to just kind of think about the player test. Name any player that's played with Peyton Manning that was just as good or better without him, and you can't do it because everyone is great with Peyton Manning just because they're playing with Peyton Manning, and that's just something that makes him always going to be in that discussion whether you want to put him there or not.
Well, here's why I disagree with you, because if you look at what Tom Brady's had around him from an offensive perspective as far as weapons go, mm-hmm. other than the time that he had Randy Moss, name another great receiver he played with. Because I can tell you what, Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne are both top 10 with Peyton Manning. So, and you say, you know, they don't do anything wherever else they played. I mean, that's kind of an irrelevant argument.
Even running
the NFL.
Backs.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady had no weapons other than Randy Moss. You don't look at the list of receivers that Tom Brady has played with.
With the exception of tight end, because you had Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski.
But that doesn't make up the majority of his career.
I'm not disagreeing. Running backs and wide receivers, I totally agree with you. But and where they played geographically in the United States, no, that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter if he won one in Denver and won one in Florida. But the thing is, too, you could also say from the standpoint of having their stamp on the actual Super Bowl wins, hard to say that he put a big stamp on the Denver team. You know, their defense
won
that game.
They won a Super Bowl in spite of, because of.
There's plenty of arguments to go against what you just said.
And for the record, you misquoted us or me or whoever it was that you were quoting as far as the argument for Emmitt Smith, because the whole point was is that when I think about the guys that are the greatest, I don't immediately put Emmitt Smith because he wasn't my favorite to watch. But if I'm going to make the argument for Jerry Rice that he was the best ever based on what he did on the field, then I'm going to make that same argument for Emmitt Smith, even though if you asked me favorites and all that, my immediate reaction wouldn't be to include him. But what that's the long way of saying, yes, Emmitt Smith was the greatest running back of all time, in the same way that Jerry Rice is, because statistically, and you look at what he's done. So don't put words in my mouth.
I was going to say, if we were going to quiz this, what were the three greatest sequels of all time? Travis.
Yeah.
If you're going to start pulling quotes and things that we said. We know what we said, but it's part of what sports radio is. We're creating dialogue here.
I found, you want to keep talking football?
Go ahead.
So I saw this thing on Over the Cap, which is if you're a cap dork like I am sometimes. And I'm trying to teach myself more, like, the intricacies of the cap. Like, I bought a whole book on it, which, if you need some help falling asleep, go buy a book on the NFL salary cap. It's a great, great way to fall asleep at night. But there was this thing on Over the Cap where they talked about the 30 worst signings of 2016, and they brought it up because Ladarius Green, the Steelers cut him after one season, and they absorbed about $3.5 million in dead money. So it was the 30 worst signings of 2016. Now, because it's you, Joel, I will start with number 28, James Starks.
I was going to say he's a Packer.
2 years, $6 million. They have that listed in the top 30. If you move on down the list, I'll go top five from there if you want. Let's just cut to the chase. Brock Osweiler was number two, which really kind of surprised me.
Like, who's one?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Brock Osweiler at 4 years, $72 million. How was that two? Number one was Dwayne Allen of the Colts, 4 years, $29.4 million.
How is that worse than Brock Osweiler?
Well, here's what it says. So it says, every few years there's a contract signed that sets a new standard for bad contracts, and I firmly believe Allen is the standard in the league today. Somehow coming off a season where he gained just 109 yards in 13 games, the Colts decided that paying Allen $7.4 million a year made sense. The contract got even crazier when they decided to pay him $12 million in the first year alone. Allen gained about 400 yards last season, and the Colts traded him to the Patriots to get out from paying him another $4.5 million in 2017. That still doesn't even come close
to four years,
$72 million for a guy that is performing like a CFL-level quarterback at best.
But now he's – I think it's – whoa.
Well, the ESPN
Table has just been taken
the
away
promo
by the wind.
Table. Did someone throw a grenade on that? It just blew up.
I think
up.
Brock's is only number two just because they didn't have to pay out the entire thing.
No. But it's just saying the signing of it. Yeah.
He's in Cleveland right now talking about he should be the starter.
Chase Daniels was third at 3 years, $21 million with the Eagles.
But he was on our show, so he's immune.
Is he, though? Is he? Mario Williams, 9. 2 years, $17 million. I'm just seeing who else stands out. Doug Martin, 5 years, 37. He said it was 11. The one that sparked all this, Ladarius Green's contract at 4 years, $20 million, was 12th on the list. So, there you go.
Man.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, I just, the whole Brock thing still blows my mind. The fact that he's in Cleveland and he should be happy to just be there, and he's already talking about being the starter, too. It's just, I mean, I understand you're a veteran, but then when you start saying, well, based on my last 2 years, I should be the starter, what have you done?
Yeah.
Except for embarrass yourself.
Yeah.
And be, when we talk about getting mossed, you can use Brock for a lot of things, especially if you're in this town, and none of them are good.
You got Brocked.
You got Brocked. If you got Brocked, or you Brocked somebody, you Brocked their world, that means you basically stole from them without getting arrested.
Richard Stites tweeted us that thing from Zach Brock Osweiler tells Cleveland reporter he should start.
Yeah. Dude, just be happy to be anywhere.
You should compete for the job at best.
Yeah. Otherwise, start donating some of your money to charity so at least you can say you did something good with it.
Yeah.
You didn't earn it.
Oh, gosh.
Woo! That's a tough one. I was going to ask you guys, too, as well. And we'll get to it, but I love the fact that I saw it last night, and fantastic. The hecklers, kind of like what we talk about text message on our show and things like that, but it's always one-sided because they can say whatever they want, And, yeah, we'll comment it to some degree, but we also don't like to give him too much attention.
Yeah.
But there was a back-and-forth sound blurb in baseball that was absolutely fantastic, and it doesn't take a long time, but it's kind of the ultimate blowback.
Yeah, I haven't heard this, so I'm excited
to hear this. Oh, it's fantastic,
yeah.
So we'll have that and a whole lot more in just a minute. We'll be back with one more hour of The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.